Now I have the honor of introducing one of my mentors here. Pat Yondradic is the Chief Academic Officer from Code.org. Code.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting computer science education. Pat has been a leader. Pat is one of the people in this country that we look to for leading us in computer science education. He was a high school teacher in Maryland and then got involved with Code.org basically from the ground and has been leading the effort across the state. So we are very fortunate to have Pat here to speak to them. So he just flew in from Chicago, arrived like 3 o'clock in the morning or something, and still made it here almost on time. So Pat, thanks for letting me.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Pat Yondradic. I'm Code.org's Chief Academic Officer. It's really great to be here. I know that a lot of you out there have done an hour of code, have participated in Code.org's professional development workshops, whether elementary school all the way up to high school, maybe even middle school, which is our newest course. I know a lot of you have been supporters in the past. Thank you for that. Thank you, Daryl. You know, you guys are very lucky to have a team of folks in New Jersey really leading the effort. And having folks like Daryl who do their full-time gig, who serve in the community, and serve as a computer science advocate pushing policies. Policy work is really tough, folks. I was an educator for 13 years, and in Maryland now, I'm one for one in terms of lobbying, because we passed $7 million over 3 years in Maryland, and that's in a state where the governor's Republican and the legislature is very much majority Democrats. And there was a Democratic legislator who came up with a bill, and the governor had a bill, and it could have really gone bad. But that working out that kind of dynamic takes a lot of work. And certainly the team in New Jersey has been doing this for a very, very long time. They'll be very happy to kind of turn some of it over to the DOE and the governor's office. But I know that you guys have probably been sitting for a while, right? So I'm exercising my teacher sense right now. And I know that one of the most important things at a conference like this is getting to know other people, especially folks in the back, our industry partners, our folks from the governor's office, maybe folks from the DOE. So what I want to do right now is have you all get up, meet your neighbor real quickly, and do two things when you meet your neighbor. Who you are, what you represent, so that's one thing. And then number two, just what's on your mind when it comes to computer science? Just what's top of your mind, what's worrying you, what keeps you up at night, what questions do you have? So I want you to share that with at least two people. I'll stop you in 3 minutes. Go.
Technology. Right.
Let me know. We'll do.
Right. Exactly. But my part, I think kids lose all of that time on tests. They'll spend all day with his nose in front. That may help in the car park. That may serve him well.
All right. If folks could have a seat.
Someone should advise him to do that.
Wonderful, thank you.
Right.
So I'm thinking, let's see here, I haven't been in a classroom in 5 years, but I was in a classroom just recently. Is my teacher voice still there? I'm not one of those people who are like, oh, I don't need to use a mic, and then the people in the back can't hear me. So I'm going to go ahead and just use a mic. Feel free to get on a Bitly if you want, and go to Jersey Code. That's where you'll find this presentation. And like Daryl said, there'll be a link, an email with a bunch of links later on. So bit.ly, all lowercase Jersey Code. There's my Twitter handle. Holler at me if you want. Here are the topics that I'm going to talk about today. Some of them less so than others. But I'm going to talk a little bit about my experience as a computer science teacher, a little bit about Code.org, why computer science, the national perspective. Daryl did a great job of giving you vision for New Jersey, so I'm just going to reinforce some of the things that he said, but not repeat them. But I'm going to give you a lot more national perspective, because New Jersey is part of the national movement. And then lastly, I'm going to just get to the nitty-gritty. Like, in the end, all of this right here, the higher ed people, the K-12 people, the governor's office people, the DOE, industry folks, advocacy groups, etc., all of it is just about actually teachers teaching kids. That's it. It's very simple. So I'm going to focus most of my time talking about the classroom experience and what teachers can use in terms of resources and workshops, right? So we've already did this, who are you, what's on your mind. I'm going to skip right to the conclusion, all right? So this is called like a flip presentation. And so not only did I already have you networking and asking questions of one another, I'm going to also just get to the point. And the point is, number one, New Jersey really needs to adopt a state plan for computer science, a holistic state plan. Luckily, there are a group of leaders in your state who have already drafted a straw man plan. And if you're in a position of policy influence, you should think about just taking a look at that plan and just adopting it. There's no need to reinvent that wheel. So talk to Daryl, Myra, Fran, and the crew about that plan later on. Standards, oh, and there's a session on that plan. I don't have stars like Daryl, so I'm just gonna have to remember, but there's a session on that plan right after this. I'll be part of that. New Jersey needs to revise the computer science / tech standards, really needs to adopt a full-time 100% state CS position. Esther will be here later on. I'm actually going to show a picture of Esther. She's that important. Because if you're a district person wondering how to implement these regulations and the legislation coming from the legislature, Esther's the person to talk to. She was the one who cooked up that computer science FAQ. So Esther will be here later on today. And then also, Daryl mentioned this already, but New Jersey needs to fund professional development. In the end, we need to give teachers workshops and experiences to build their capacity, and we should pay them for it as well, right? You can learn more about anything that I'm mentioning about Code.org, all the curriculum resources at Code.org/educate. If you go to this Bitly link, all you have to do is just click that. You don't even need to remember Code.org/educate. Number four, attend a workshop with TCNJ. Steve, could you stand up? He's right in the back. Everyone look at Steve. Say hi, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hello, everybody.
So Steve and Henry at TCNJ, our Code.org's regional partner in this area. They run workshops for our Computer Science Fundamentals course, Computer Science Discoveries, and Computer Science Principles courses. All right, elementary through high school. Those are free workshops. And there are a couple spaces still left, and there's a wait list for some of those.
Raise your hand if you've been to any of our workshops. Wonderful, thank you. And I know there are some of our facilitators in the room as well. You guys are like our extended family. It's nice to see you all. You're my students. So I said it's about teachers teaching students, and it's about students getting the opportunity to learn computer science. This is the last class I ever taught, literally the last class, seventh period AP Computer Science. In our school, Springbrook High School in Silver Spring, Maryland, there are about 1,800 students, 1,900. It's just a normal school. It's pretty average in terms of the 26 high schools in my district, Montgomery County, Maryland. Nothing special about the school, really. It's not a magnet school or anything like that. So, but what's special is that we had a four-year computer science program. And this is just one of two classes. There are 60 kids taking AP Computer Science in this school. What's most significant about the kids taking is not just the number of kids, but who was taking it. And so this is the vision that I want to give everyone for what a computer science class should look like, right? Where there are just kids of all different races and ages and genders. This is also what a computer science class should look like. So not just high school, but kindergarten. You know, when states adopt K-12 computer science standards, they're saying that kids as young as 5 or 6 should be learning computer science concepts. And these kids, for the Hour of Code in 2014, learned about pixels and that they're not magic. The stuff that's happening on a screen is not magic, right? It's just numbers behind it all. And so they actually formed this gene, the Glenn Allen Gators, all together. It is crazy. If there are elementary school teachers in the room, thank you for doing what you do. Because it is crazy working with 80 kindergartners to do an activity, all right? But I have to take a picture of that just to show that there, you know, this is all possible. And like Daryl's vision for computerscienceco.org is that every student in every school should have the opportunity to learn computer science. And we tackle two big problems: bridging the digital divide through education and then diversity of the digital workforce. The issue is that there is a digital divide, and that's why there's a lack of diversity in the digital workforce. That's one of the main reasons why. So just a lack of exposure and access. Number one, the first thing that we do at Code.org is we create platforms to make learning accessible, right? So there are programming environments that we create from kindergarten and elementary school with featuring characters like the Angry Birds, all the way to real deal Internet of Things and JavaScript for kids in high school. Over 20 million students in the US are on Code.org, over 28 million internationally. 45% are female, 48% are underrepresented minorities, 49% are students on free reduced meals. This does not come just like automatically. This comes through hard work and creating materials that are relatable to a variety of students. So it is very possible. I saw that Rutgers info beginning that two shared, right, with the red line of females down here and the green line up here for men. You know, that can change, and two does have a session right after this about what's happening at Rutgers and hopefully around the state to improve diversity. But that doesn't have to be, even though that's like the national average, that does not have to be. You did mention that there are lots of schools that have totally flipped that. Big schools, UC Berkeley, Harvard, Stanford, Harvey Mudd, etc., that have done that. Rutgers can do that as well. Another thing that Code.org does is we create curriculum that's free, that any teacher can teach. The curriculum is super, super robust, and that means that even if you don't understand computer science, the curriculum is created for you and to build your capacity. So there are a lot of tutorials and videos to help you out if it's your first time teaching computer science. We also prepare teachers with no CS background, because again, where do you get these teachers? You're not going to wait 4 or 5 years to cook up a pre-service pipeline of teachers. So we do a lot of training. Again, there are a lot of our facilitators in the room. So far, 72,000 plus teachers have been trained at workshops. These are in-person trainings for the last 5 years. This is a picture of our TeacherCon in Phoenix a couple of years ago. That was about 600 to 800 teachers. In one conference, a national hub. And that was one of three hubs we had in the nation learning computer science. Most of those teachers knew computer science. And these folks are changing the face of computer science. Another thing we do at Code.org is we work on policy, both district, state, and federal policy. And so that bottom right corner right there, that is a picture of some of the students who did an activity for our governors for CS. We right now, I think we have 18 or 19 governors for CS in our partnership. Governor Hogan in Maryland is a governor for CS, and he recently completed his commitment to the three top priorities: standards, funding professional development, and requiring all high schools to offer computer science. The great thing for Governor Murphy in the state of New Jersey is that actually those three priorities are already ramped up. One of them is already taken care of, requiring high schools to offer computer science, and the other two are basically in the queue. Number five, the fifth thing that we do is break stereotypes. So we do a lot of marketing and promotional awareness around computer science, creating videos featuring women from all different fields talking about how computer science has changed the world. Carly Kloss is interesting. Carly Kloss is a model. Carly Kloss is right here. Carly's interesting. So Carly, we roped her into a video to talk about computer science. She did a she got interested beyond that and started taking a course, and then she got even more interested, and now she started her own nonprofit called Coding with Carly. And so she's continued that effort. So it's wonderful to see people you know, who we featured kind of doing more for computer science. Chris Bosch took computer science, took web development in college, actually. And he was part of something in middle school where he learned how to code, and he got made fun of by his friends. So he's featured in one of our videos. And Sue Bird is a WNBA champion, but she's also now a professor of human-computer interaction at the University of Washington. So she's a success story showing that just, you know, just a wide variety of people can do this type of work. And Tess is an engineer at Google. Tess is awesome. We have a variety of videos featuring people at different organizations, even in and outside of the traditional tech world, doing computer science. These are just some of the resources that we've created to break stereotypes around computer science. And then there's the Hour of Code, which everyone knows about. And the Hour of Code continues to be one of the world's largest educational events. So we've had, you know, I don't know what, we've had 429 million hours of code served. It's probably like 550 million now. I don't know, it's on the website. But the whole point of everything that we do, especially with the Hour of Code, is to go to years of computer science, not just stay at an Hour of Code. So this Why Computer Science thing, I'm going to flash through this real quick. The reason why I have this in the presentation, even though some of you all are wonderful advocates for computer science, is that you all always need some type of slides to do your advocacy, right? Whether at the classroom level, talking to your students, like, hey, why should you take this? Or maybe at like a PTA night with parents. Whether you're talking to your administrator or counselors, whether you're talking to district folks, whether you're talking to state folks, whatever, you know, higher ed, maybe convincing your higher ed boss, you know, some dean or whatever, that maybe we should do more work in the K-12 space. And the person's thinking, you know, don't you have enough work at the undergrad level? And no, you know, this K-12 thing is kind of important. That's how we get more kids to get into our courses. So I keep these slides in there because I want to breeze through them, but also give you something to use in your own advocacy. You know, Daryl said that I'm his mentor. I'm totally not his mentor. Daryl and I are peers. But I'm sure Daryl's seen me do my thing before, and he uses slides, and I see him do his thing, and I use his slides. This is kind of what we do as an advocacy community. So the number one thing, why computer science? Normally, I actually set this up as Family Feud, because I actually literally have people do Family Feud. I'll like get people on one side, the other side, and a buzzer. But we don't have time for that. You can do that, though. The slides are set up for that. So why computer science? Equity and access. And so you see the female picture highlighted there, K-12 university and digital workforce. It's quite uncanny how at the K-12 computer science level for AP Computer Science A, the percentage of women is about 23%. It's always hovered around 21, 22, 23%. University level, it's like between 18 and 20%. And the digital workforce, it's the same thing. It's crazy.
But when you think about it, it's quite logical because this is a continuum. And if kids don't get it at the K-12 level, they don't continue on at university, et cetera, et cetera. And I do want to talk about two students. I want to start off with Neiman. So Neiman's the guy in the top left. He's in the Air Force. He's doing cybersecurity in the Air Force. Neiman's a great guy. He's in the center here. I don't know what his rank is, but he's a cybersecurity expert. You know, he was just a kid who thought, hey, computer science might be interesting. He took my class, and it changed his life. And recently, he hollered at me on LinkedIn, and he told me kind of what he's been doing with his life, and he thanked me for kind of inspiring him. And that felt really good. If you're a teacher, you know what I mean. And he sent me this message, and now he's gonna. I don't know if he's gonna accept the offer at Amazon, but this is quite a turn because he's really just an average student. In fact, he's a little bit below average. He missed a lot of school often, but he just the thing that kind of he was almost in danger actually of being truant. But what kept on bringing him back was the computer science work at school. Like he had something in school that he could connect with that he wanted to do. And so this is Neiman serving the country and now going to get paid at Amazon. It's wonderful. Sherelle is a different story. Sherelle had a rope into taking computer science. Her friends took computer science. She would hang out in the room, but she wouldn't take it. And then she decided to take it her junior year. And then she actually loved it so much she doubled up her senior year. She took level one junior year, and then levels two and three her senior year. And then she applied for the NCWIT Aspirations Award. She won it as a finalist. She's in the Air Force now as well. She's in the Air Force ROTC at the University of Maryland College Park doing cybersecurity work. And she's interning right now for her summer in some cybersecurity firm. So she's doing great as well. So these are just some success stories, and this is kind of why we need access to computer science. I'm gonna actually skip through some of the stuff real quick. Jobs, Daryl talked about New Jersey. One thing to mention, you know, people talk about the STEM problem all the time. The STEM problem is actually a computer science problem. The Bureau of Labor Statistics comes out with projections all the time. And so here on the left, we have a statistic, 58% of new jobs in STEM are actually just in computing. So life sciences, I got my core degree, my undergrad degree in neurobiology. Life sciences represents about 68% of new STEM job growth. 58%. So eclipsing everything else combined is just in computing. So this STEM problem, it's mainly a computing problem, even at the higher ed level. There are more women graduating with bio degrees right now in our country than men. It's like about 51-52% women compared to 48% men graduating with bio degrees. And obviously we know the disparity when it comes to computing. So the STEM problem is actually in computer science because, as you see, there are a lack of STEM graduates in computer science. So that's a stat to take home. Another stat to take home for jobs is not just the amount of jobs, but where the jobs are. They're beyond just the, you know, Microsoft, Google, or whatever. Just in every field, every industry, non-STEM field, et cetera. So jobs. People want it. So there's huge demand. 90% of parents want it. That was a Google Gallup survey. You know, the students were asked what their favorite subjects are, and computer science and engineering rank right behind arts and humanities because it's a creation kind of thing, not just a memorization kind of thing. People want it, it's our modern world, it's all around us, it's a superpower. And then there's this video that I'm not going to show. It's called The Power of Computer Science, or Computer Science is Changing Everything. It's another Code.org video showing computer science in a variety of fields. Check it out. You have the bit.ly link for this whole presentation, so you can just go to that when you want. A little bit about the national perspective. So Daryl is very right in that New Jersey is primed to be a leader in the U.S. He talked about Governor Hutchinson in Arkansas. Governor Hutchinson ran on a platform that included computer science. He's visited like more than like 50, 60 high schools himself pushing computer science. And now Arkansas, just during his tenure, has actually had a number of tech companies staying and moving to Arkansas because of that commitment. You know, a little funny thing about Amazon, folks, and HQ2, so Newark is
is in the top 20, right? There are three in the D.C. area. Montgomery County, Maryland's in the top 20. In fact, I'm going to say it right now publicly. I think, if I were to bet on it, because there's three in the D.C. area, it's probably going to land in the D.C. area somewhere. And I think one of the prime reasons is the workforce pipeline and the education system there. Because, like I said, there have been a number of commitments in Maryland recently to promote computer science. I think the recent commitments from the governor's office in New Jersey actually helps the case a lot. Because little do you all know, normal people who didn't read the RFP for the HQ2 bid, they actually wanted to know about K-12 computer science in that bid. So that's actually part of their rubric. Funding. Since January 2018, the recent legislative sessions, $49 million has been committed. In New York, Governor Cuomo appropriated $30 million, 6 mil X times 5 years for computer science education. That's the largest commitment in the nation by far. 19 states now have standards. Overall, there are about 31 states that either have standards or are working on standards. That's up from 1 3 years ago. This is a huge movement. There are a number of states, 4 states, that now require all high schools to offer computer science. This is just in 2018. Florida requires all middle schools and high schools, and 2 states, Indiana and Wyoming of all places, requires all high schools, all 14 high schools in Wyoming, to offer computer science. It's a little bit easier for Wyoming to require all high school and all schools, but and New Jersey has a little bit harder a job with what, like 600 school districts in New Jersey? You all just made it hard on yourselves, all right? In Maryland, we have 24 school districts. Very tractable number, very easy to control and kind of measure. Yeah, 600 districts. Good luck in New Jersey.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of New Jersey, so all high schools offer, CS counts for a grad requirement, that's math. A state plan is in the works, standards are in the works, funding is in the works. You have a CS supervisor, but it needs to become a full-time, 100% position. If there are DOE people here, making that a full-time, all-the-time position is an important thing. Certification is in the works. Pre-service incentives, that's a different story. And CS counts for higher ed admissions. Those are actually 2 of 9 that really, I don't know of any effort, but everything else either is done or has something around it. So there's lots of momentum. In 1 year, all this can change. All this can change. And that's Esther's picture. Esther will be here probably in about an hour. She actually is at another computing presentation right now, actually. And she'll be coming here later on. That's her email. But she'll be around. You should talk to her, especially if you're a district person wondering how to implement some of the recent regulations. And now teaching computer science. So remember, you can always visit code.org and check out some of these resources. What you can't find at code.org is the K-12 CS framework, because it's not just a code.org thing. A number of organizations, including a number of organizations here, either led the development of the framework or endorsed the framework, like the College Board and Microsoft, Google, and other groups. So this is a video that talks a little bit about the K-12 CS framework. It's embedded in here so that you can check it out. It's at k12cs.org. But the framework is basically the playbook for everything computer science. If anyone here doesn't understand K-12 computer science or wants to understand it more, if you're a researcher or whatever, the K-12 CS framework is where everything is smushed together. It's lengthy, but there's a table of contents. Pick and choose what you want to look at. And at the core of the framework is this idea of core concepts and core practices. If you're familiar with the NGSS, this is very similar because we actually had the people from NGSS consult in the development of the framework. So the core concepts, and you notice that one of them is algorithms and programming, aka coding. But there's lots more to computer science, like the social impacts of computing and data science. Core practices, you'll see that there are practices like fostering an inclusive computing culture. There are other practices like developing and using abstractions. Those are computational thinking practices, while other practices are more just general practices. Again, all this is in the K-12 CS framework.
If you're a computer science education geek, it's a must read. And if you're not a computer science education geek, and you're just like a district person who just wants to figure out how to make this computer science thing happen, there are chapters for you. Chapter A is all about implementation guidance. So when someone asks, well, what does a K-12 computer science pathway look like? This is what it can look like, depending on whether you have time for basic, moderate, or broad and deep exposure. So there are diagrams and chapters all about how to implement computer science, the K-12 CS framework. And at code.org, we have curriculum. And this curriculum features very deep lesson plans, hundreds of videos, even folks like musicians like Aloe Black talking about digital compression. And then there's a whole learning management system, a platform behind that. There's also a link right there to our third-party recommendations as well, because at code.org, we're not just about code.org stuff. We're actually about computer science. We're unique in that. That's why I love advocating for computer science through code.org, because I don't just have to talk about code.org. I can talk about groups like Teals at Microsoft. Microsoft is one of our big partners at code.org and Microsoft Teals. We'll have a session on that later on today. Teals brings in industry people to teach like a first or second period AP computer science class. And it's a wonderful way of ramping up a computer science program very quickly. And you'll find out information about Teals at that third-party link. You also have some buddies from Teals right here. You can raise your hand. And if you're interested in Teals, you can talk to them. I told you about videos. Anyone know who that person is on the right over there? That looks like Papa Smurf. Yeah. Vint Cerf. So I got to shoot a video with Vint Cerf. So for about an hour, hearing Vint Cerf talk about the internet would be mind-blowing, because he basically created the internet. And what he talks about in those videos is, I mean, they're the best videos on the internet I've ever seen. The internet is a design philosophy. It's not hardware and software. It's like a philosophy, and you can use it you can implement it with anything. And we decided to implement it with wires and bits and such, but the internet is a design philosophy, and in those videos he talks about it. Paula Mejia, she's a software engineer at Microsoft. We already talked about tests at Google. So we have an elementary school course, it's called CS Fundamentals. You know, fun environments, easy creation, teacher dashboard. We have a middle school course called CS Discoveries. It features a thing called Game Lab. It also introduces more hardware aspects. And then we have a high school CS Principles course. And other than our app creation environment, which can get an app on a phone in about 2 minutes, because you can just text it to a phone, we have these computational thinking widgets as well. So they're not programming, but they're ways to really get at some deep computational thinking aspects. This is all available for free, Creative Commons. Take it, adapt it, it's all up to you. I'm going to skip through this stuff, but I wanted to let you know that it's there. You might be wondering, how do I integrate computer science into other fields? This diagram is actually from the K-12 CS framework, and here are two ways that science, math, and computer science combine together. So in the form of modeling and defining problems, right? These are aspects, these are intersections of both computer science, math, and science and engineering. So again, this is at k12cs.org. I do want to talk a little bit about two implementations of integrated computer science. So again, this is like the nitty-gritty, right? What do we use to teach kids? ProjectGuts.org is an agent-based modeling system to introduce computer science in a science class. Modeling and simulation is part of the NGSS. How do you get to modeling and simulation? You don't just show kids simulations and have them toggle stuff. You actually have them code simulations, so they can have a deeper understanding of the dynamics of an ecosystem or rabbit populations, etc. And how do you get kids to improve their algebra scores? You introduce video game design and programming into an algebra class through a course like Bootstrap, which you can find at bootstrapworld.org. And so, you know, just at the least, kids really understand that on a screen, everything is about numbers. Not just the pixels themselves, but the positioning of the pixels. Everything's just numbers. Things colliding on a screen, it's all just numbers. It's all just math. So that's Bootstrap. And then lastly, this summer, in August, Scratch will be releasing Scratch 3.0. A number of changes to Scratch. The Creative Computing Guide will also be updated as well, including a crosswalk between the Creative Computing Guide lessons and the CSTA standards and the K-12 CS frameworks. So that's Scratch 3.0 coming out this summer. It's a third-party thing for teachers to use. So we're back to the conclusion again. And these are the things that I want you to do. I want you to learn more about our resources at Code.org. I want you to talk to Esther, if you're a district person, figuring out, you know, what does the state want us to do. I want you to, as a state, adopt the state plan standards, a full-time state CS position, and fund PD. And I want you to talk to Steve back there, and or email Henry at TCNJ to figure out either how you can participate in workshops, or how you can have your teachers participate in workshops, from elementary school to high school. Thank you. So, I really wanted us to stay on time, but you might have some burning questions. If they're related to any of the topics in the breakouts, you can save them for then. Or if it's just super burning, you want to ask it now. We do have just a couple more minutes as we transition. Yep.
So, I graduated master's students, female master's students in computer science. And because well, visas, they have a hard time finding jobs. Wouldn't this be a wonderful pipeline for high school teachers?
It would.
When training computer science.
It would. That'd be wonderful.
What can we do to achieve this?
Yeah, I think that depends on the regulations. You know, there. I think in New Jersey there probably is some type of emergency or alternative licensure pathway. If you want to learn more about that, you can probably talk to Daryl or talk to Esther as well. But there are these emergency licensure pathways for people just like that who have the content figured out and just need the education. Sometimes they let them teach immediately, but they have to sign a contract committing to taking the appropriate courses every year. So over the span of 2, 3, 4 years. I would love to have those people teach computer science. They'd be great role models. Other questions?